You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everybody. Well, we're thinking a lot about what it must be like to be thoroughly vetted.
We sure are.
What if they talked to everybody in your life and asked all kinds of questions about what your qualifications were? Could anybody even handle that? A lot of people are criticizing Sarah Palin's career choices now that she's being publicly vetted, saying she's too busy to focus on caring for her five children. But how equal is the mother's and father's responsibility to take care of their children in the 21st century? Do you feel a different level of responsibility based on gender? Tell us what you think at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org.
And we're talking vetting because Republican John McCain certainly did shake things up when he chose the unknown, or at least widely unknown, governor from Alaska, Sarah Palin, as his running mate. This week, Palin's been shaking things up herself, or at least disclosures about her governing as well as about her family have been shaking things up, raising questions about exactly how she was vetted before she was asked to join the McCain ticket. For a look at the history of vice presidential vetting, we turn to Joel Goldstein. He is a law professor at St. Louis University and the author of The Modern American Vice Presidency, The Transformation of a Political Institution. Good morning and welcome.
Well, good morning. Thank you.
So let's talk about transformation. You've been studying vice presidential candidates for decades. Where does Palin's nomination and what we know about her vetting, how does that stack up among the rest?
Well, it's a different sort of nomination. If you look at the people who've been chosen to be vice presidential candidates in over the last 50 years or so, almost all of them have had much more extensive governmental experience than she has had, or have had previous experience running for president, have been in the national eye before. We've never before had a candidate who had so little prior experience in high governmental position as Governor Palin.
Let's talk about the vetting process itself.
Sure.
I was really surprised when I was looking at some of the notes from your book that the process, you say, really began with Jimmy Carter. How has it developed since then?
Sure. It did begin really in 1976, was when both the presidential nominees on the Democratic and Republican side really began the sort of process we have since then. It really began with in 1976, with a relatively short questionnaire. The Democratic questionnaire was less than 20 questions in 1976, which Governor Carter asked half a dozen finalists to respond to. Now I saw that the Republican questionnaire included 70 questions, and sometimes they're longer than that. It's a process that is very intrusive in terms of trying to learn everything there is to know about the finalists before a decision's made.
Generally, up till now, up to this Palin nomination, you say it's a very intense process. I mean, describe it to us. I think you've got an example about Chuck Hagel. How long did it go on? What did it entail?
Well, there usually are different stages to it. I mean, one stage is trying to find out information that's in the public record. What can you learn from Googling somebody? What can you learn from looking at government sources about them? And then, generally speaking, when a decision is made as to who are the finalists, there's usually a questionnaire that may take the person really a lot of time and effort to complete. I mean, and Senator Hagel was one of the people that then Governor George Bush considered for his running mate in 2000. He said he spent about 2 weeks completing the questionnaire. It involved getting his lawyers, his accountants, his business partners involved. I mean, people send boxes of material into the campaign, financial records and so forth. And then the vetting process usually includes talking to other political figures, other people who might know the potential nominee to find out what they can learn that way.
It doesn't sound like it's very much fun at all. Is all of this a reaction to the 1972 fiasco with George McGovern and Tom Eagleton?
To some extent, it is, in the sense that, Senator McGovern really didn't do any vetting. They never asks Senator Eagleton any questions about his health, and it was all done at the last minute. There was also the whole experience with Spiro Agnew, having served as vice president, and then after having been elected twice, there was the investigation that that disclosed that he had accepted bribes as governor of Maryland, and then as vice president from contractors.
And he eventually pleaded noli contendere, and that was the end of him. Of course, Thomas Eagleton had the mental health problems, which ended his role as a running mate.
And finally, quickly, last question for you, Joel. Obviously, we don't know everything that led up to the Sarah Palin nomination, but it certainly sounds from what we've read, for example, that McCain only met with her the day before he actually nominated her. What do you think, how do you think that will impact her place?
Well, I think in a couple ways. I mean, if more things come out about her that prove damaging, it could jeopardize her position. It could also reflect on Senator McCain, both in terms of judgment and in terms of how the process was run. I guess the two things that seem a little bit unusual about it are, one, that there was relatively little contact between the two of them before the choice was made, which seems to be a bit unusual in such situations where the candidate doesn't know the prospective running mate. The other thing was that it doesn't seem as if they had time to really talk to people in Alaska and find out about her. So that while that they clearly talked to her and apparently she filled out the questionnaire,
right,
the indications are that they didn't have time, because Senator McCain came to the decision relatively late in the process to interview people in Alaska.
See how that all turns out, won't we? Because there's certainly lots of people digging now as we speak. Joel Goldstein, law professor at St. Louis University, thanks for joining us.
No, thanks for having me.
Joel Goldstein is also the author of The Modern American Vice Presidency, The Transformation of a Political Institution.